Hi guys, my name is Kenny Dussault, and this is the Elite Development Podcast. The goal of this show is documenting my journey as a coach, things I see in the industry, mistakes I see athletes make, things that I know you need to avoid. So basically, my goal is to help athletes avoid the difficult pitfalls of the world of elite performance sport and to help them reach their true potential. So if you are an up-and-coming athlete that is trying to build the career of your dreams, make sure you're following along this show. Make sure you go subscribe on the YouTube channel, on the podcast, and everywhere else you can. And now, let's get to the episode.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Elite Development Podcast, the number one show for athletes looking to gain an edge on their opponents and build their dream careers in sport. I am your host, Kenny Dussault, and today we are talking about how to train for fights. Now, basically, my goal with this episode is I want to break down all the different areas that you need to train for fights and, well, strength and conditioning work. So I'm not going to be talking about skills training, but I want to break down all the areas to build a proper strength and conditioning program for fighting. And I want to really just give you guys a little bit of an insight into the way my brain works when I'm putting together programs for my athletes. So hopefully we're going to tie this together fairly quickly. But we'll see how it goes. So the first thing is strength training. And guys, you've heard me say it before if you followed me for any period of time. Strength training is the foundation for everything. Now, the big thing that I think a lot of athletes misunderstand when I talk about that is thinking that when I say strength training, I mean bodybuilding. They're two very different things. The key when you're building strength, when it comes back to really any sport, the key when you're building strength is the movements. So it's not about the specific exercise. It's not about whether it's a back squat or a front squat or a goblet squat or a Bulgarian split squat. It's about what muscles are leading the movements. So as you're sitting into a squat of any kind, focus on controlling and sitting back into your hips so that the movement is led by your glutes and hamstrings, because those are going to be the muscles that are outputting a lot of power behind punches, takedown attempts, whatever else it might be. Now, the reason that strength is so important, like I said, it's the baseline for everything you do. Every punch you throw, you need to put force through the ground, rotate your body, use force from your core to rotate your body to throw the arm to where you're trying to put it, right? Obviously, a very simple way to break that down. But the more force your body is capable of outputting, the more power you're going to be able to put behind a punch. And the more strength your body has, the more force you're going to be able to output. Right. So generally, the main focus of off-season programs for my athletes, and when I say off-season, I mean like we don't have a fight booked, we don't have something coming up, the main focus is going to be strength training. Strength training, and then on the conditioning side, the main focus is going to be aerobic power and capacity. And so aerobic system is also your baseline. So in the off-season, we're just building up the baseline. We're building up the physical, like we're building up the body physically with the strength work. And we're building up the gas tank with just your ability to maintain a pace for a longer duration of time. Now, when it comes to the aerobic system, a couple of easy ways to train it. One is just 20 to 30 minutes of steady state work. So keep a high, steady pace on a bike. This can be a run if you so desire that that's it. But again, the reason I'm not a huge fan of running for this stuff is because, plain and simple, you're putting your body through more impact to get the same aerobic effect as if you jumped onto a bike or an air bike or something like that. So that's why I'm not a fan of it. However, if you love running, that's another great way to do it. But the main idea here, guys, is in the off season, we're building up strength. So the physicality of the body, and we're building up the baseline of energy. So your ability to just maintain a steady pace for longer and keep that going as you continue to output. Now, as we build that baseline up, obviously we need power, we need speed, we need conditioning to be able to repeat explosive, powerful, quick efforts for the whole duration of the fight. So I usually go two ways. If athletes are fighting kind of every 4 months, then it's easy to get them into like a 10 to 12 week training camp program where we're focusing more on building up the power and speed. If it's going to be a little while until they fight, like if you have 6 months between fights, we're probably just still going to do some peaking programs for you, right? As if you were training for a fight on a specific day. And the reason for that is because, yes, we want to build up the baseline, but if all you're ever doing is strength training, then we're not improving your ability to be explosive. We're not improving your ability to be fast or your ability to repeat that for a longer duration of time. No, for the 20-minute steady state or 30-minute steady state, it would just be one steady effort for the whole time. So if we're in an off season, and let's say we're not fighting for about 6 months, you know, maybe longer for whatever reason, I would probably do 6 to 8 weeks of straight just strength work and aerobic capacity, really just bulletproof the baseline, make sure that the athlete is as strong and the aerobic capacity is as well built as we can have it. Because then the next time we go into a training camp, we have a higher baseline. And if we have a higher baseline, we have more to work off of. Because one of the things you want to reframe your mind with is training camp being to get you in shape. The goal should be that you're in shape by the time training camp comes around, right? Because if it's 10 weeks out and you're like, oh man, I got to get in shape. Like now you're spending the first 4 weeks just trying to get in shape and you got 6 weeks to actually train, right? But if you're in shape already because you've got a steady build through your off season of building strength, building aerobic capacity, building aerobic power, now you don't have to get in shape when the fight's coming up. You're already in shape. Now you don't have to increase the intensity that much more when the fight's coming up. And by not having to increase it that much more, you're putting less damage on your body. And if you're putting less damage on your body, you're going to be better recovered when you actually have to step in there. And if you're better recovered when you actually have to step in there, I hope you guys can see the benefit of that. You're going to be in better shape. And in turn, you're going to be able to do more when you're in there where it actually matters. So as we start peaking for a fight, this is where we're taking most of that baseline that we've built and we're translating it into the power and the speed, making sure that we're giving you the conditioning to be able to do this for the full 9, 15, 25 minutes, however long the fight's actually going to last. So basically what we start doing is when we're, let's say, 10 weeks out to 7 weeks out, we start adding in a lot more plyometric work. So if we're training 3 days a week, as an example, one day would still be a fairly heavy strength day, you know, 4 to 5 strength exercises spanning the whole body, 4 sets, 6 reps, 80-90% intensity, somewhere around there. And again, I say somewhere around there and I give vague answers because it's going to be a little bit different for everybody. So I don't want you guys to think 4 exercises, 4 sets, 6 reps, 90% intensity, that's the only way to do it. It's a little lower, a little higher. It's not going to be a bad thing. Everybody's going to vary with that stuff a little bit. Now, the other 2 days from that 10 to 7 weeks out, we are going to focus more in on explosive power. So plyometric work, we're going to focus more in on speed, a little bit of speed training, and then making sure that we're taking that strong baseline we've built and teaching your body how to use it to be more explosive. So in the beginning part of the training camp, 10 to 7 weeks out, somewhere in there, what we want to focus on now is more just single effort plyometrics. So teaching your body to just be explosive, right? So that would be like a box jump, a medicine ball heave, anything that's just one max intensity effort for the plyometric work. And the reason for this is we want to get your body used to being explosive before we dial in how we use the explosive power. So as we get into this part as well, into that sort of 10 to 7 weeks out range, instead of just hitting aerobic work where we're building up that baseline, one or two of those days is going to turn into some anaerobic training. That anaerobic training is going to be shorter duration sprints. You know, if we're going anaerobic lactic work, let's say 30 second sprints with 60 to 90 seconds of rest, with the focus being as high of an intensity as you can maintain for that 30 seconds of sprint for 6 to 8 rounds. And again, guys, I'm going to reinforce it. I'm not giving exact numbers because there is no one exact number that's perfect. Like if you do 5 rounds or you do 9 rounds, is it going to ruin the session? No. If you do 45 seconds on, is it going to ruin the session? No. I'm giving you an idea of where to start, but I want you to understand that there's variation to it as well. Now, the conditioning work is going to change up because the anaerobic lactic system, as you've likely heard me say, is focusing around delaying the onset of fatigue. So if we have one of those days where we're starting to teach the body how to work through fatigue, teach the body how to continue to push at a high pace when you are tired, you're going to be able to maintain that higher pace and not succumb to that muscle fatigue that you might start feeling. Now, as we come a little bit further into training camp, we get, 6 to 4 weeks out, we're transitioning to a lot more explosive power and speed work and a little bit less of the strength work. The strength should still be in there. One day a week, I would still be hitting a good heavy strength day. But on the other 2 days, the lifts, you should still be lifting, but I'd be keeping it 60 to 70% intensity. So like, this doesn't mean 60 to 70% necessarily of a one rep max, but basically it's like, if you're doing sets of six, you should feel like you have 3 to 4 reps with good technique left in the tank before it would be a max. Make sense? It's called rate of perceived exertion. So as we get into that 6 to 4 weeks out, two of the days, the lifts are going to be 60 to 70% intensity or 6 to 7 RPE. And then on the other day, we're still sticking with that 8 or 9. So a little bit more strength focused, a little bit less explosive power focused. Now on all of those days, now on one of the days, I still want just max effort explosive power. So the box jumps, the med ball heaves, those just like one as much power as you can kind of efforts. And on the other 2 days, we're starting to switch it up. We're switching it up to more multi-directional power, maybe some sprint work in there, getting you thinking about coordinating more explosive movements. So one of the examples I like to use is a lateral hop into a box jump. So you start, if the box is in the center, you start one good pace away from it on the left side, start on your left leg, hop as you hit the ground in front of the box. You want to spend as little time on the ground as possible, jump and hit the box. Now, the reason we want to start doing these multi-directional drills is teaching the body how to be explosive in more than one plane of motion, right? Because in a fight, you're going everywhere, lateral movement, forward, backward, everywhere. So you need to teach your body how to be explosive going in every direction, right? So those multi-directional drills are focused on teaching your body how to output more power regardless of the direction you're going. So starting to add more of those in that 6 to 4 weeks out range to, again, continue to teach the body how to use the extra force that we've been building up through the off season. And the other real key of those multi-directional plyos, that 6 to 4 weeks out range, is it's about the accuracy. Like, guys, if you're doing a med ball throw, don't just randomly heave the ball at the wall as hard as you can. Pick a spot on the wall and hit it every time. Pick a spot on the wall and hit it every time. And the reason it's so important to pick a spot on the wall when you're doing your plyometric drills and hit it with every rep or come as close to it with every rep, because if you're throwing a punch and you have all the power in the world, but you have no ability to aim it, it doesn't matter, right? Because you just have to hope that they're going to happen to stand in place where that punch is going to come across the chin. But if you can output all the power in the world and place exactly where you want to place it accurately every time you do it, now you're a fucking danger. Now you're a danger. And that is what we're after. So when you're doing these plyometric drills, don't just think power and accuracy. So with those multi-directional drills, like the lateral hop to a box jump, like I talked about, focus on getting off the ground quickly and focus on landing on the same spot on the box every time you jump. So we're teaching your body to output power quickly and also teaching your body to control where the power is going. Because if you wing punches from your hips and you have no ability to aim them, all your opponent has to do is go, oh, and then just step back and all of a sudden you missed. You know what I mean? So now as we get to the 3 weeks out, or I didn't talk about the conditioning. So 6 to 4 weeks out, anaerobic lactic work. So that, 30 seconds to a minute on, minute to 2 minutes off relatively would be the range. We want to be doing 2 days a week and then one of the aerobic sessions each week. So we're teaching your body to delay the onset of fatigue, teaching your body to continue to work as muscle fatigue starts to set in and be able to work through it. Now, as we get 3 weeks out to 1 week out, This is where I have the most fun personally, but this is where the focus primarily becomes the power and speed. So the focus primarily becomes the power and speed. You're focused on being as explosive as you can through your lifts, being as explosive as you can through your plyos. And then we're going to be adding some sprint work in here and some multi-directional sprint work as well. So making sure that we're not just hitting sprints, but we're doing, like, one of my favorite examples is a lateral shuffle into a sprint. So start with a easy lateral shuffle. And then when you hit the place that you're going to sprint from, explode into the sprint as quickly as you can. And again, the goal here is teaching your body to be explosive and to be fast in different planes of motion, get you going in different directions, make sure that you're fast no matter where the fight puts you. Now, when it comes to the conditioning work for this final program, when it comes to the weights, we should be focusing again more on the power. So switching up the exercises a little bit, keeping it explosive, keeping it fast, keeping your movements as explosive as you can. And when it comes to the plyos, we're doing mostly multi-directional stuff now. So, you know, different directions, like sprints with the lateral shuffle or a lateral hop into a sprint, focusing on being explosive in more than one plane of motion. And then with the conditioning work, as we get that 3 to 1 week out, anaerobic alactic work becomes the primary focus. And when I say anaerobic alactic work, I mean maximum effort for minimum duration. So that's 10 to 15 seconds of work with a minute to 90 seconds of rest for anywhere, depending on the ability of the athlete, 6 to 12 rounds. Now, the reason I say 6 to 12 and I give such a broad stroke number there is because the goal here is not to finish 12 rounds. The goal here is to be at 100% power with every sprint you do. Right. So if you're on the air bike, you're hitting this 12, 15 seconds on, 60 seconds off. You're going. And all of a sudden you start noticing in round 6, you're not keeping the same pace. Don't grind out 6 more rounds. Call it there. And the reason you call it there is because the goal is to be explosive. The goal is not to hit 12 rounds. Because we're teaching your body to throw explosive combinations and to recover from them quickly. So if you're not doing it, if you're not fully recovered while you're doing it, we're not teaching your body how to recover from it quickly and how to throw 100% power combinations. So guys, that is a little bit of a breakdown, a little bit of an insight into my brain when I'm writing programs, my brain when I'm coming up with, you know, what I've got my athletes doing coming into fights. And the other thing that I want to really make sure before we wrap this up is this is going to change depending on when you take fights, right? If you're coming off the couch and it's 4 weeks out, I wouldn't start with a regular peaking program because we're missing out on that foundation, right? We're missing out on the strength and the aerobic capacity. So the way that we're going to get you the best result in that little amount of time is by building from the bottom up, starting with the stuff you're missing, and then building into it, right? If you've been training really consistently and you're already strong, the aerobic capacity is good, and then all of a sudden someone says, hey, we've got a fight in 3 weeks, now we can jump right into a peaking program. So the main key I want you guys to take away from all of this, I know I talked a lot, the main key I want you to take away from all of this is that you need every piece of the puzzle. If you're coming off the couch, you're weak, your body's not strong, your aerobic capacity isn't there, and you jump right into anaerobic lactic work, you're trying to build a house without starting with the foundation, and it's just not going to work, right? So the exact ways that we do this is going to depend on the individual, depend on how you've been training, depend on how long you have before the fight, but this is just a base idea of where you can start. And if you're looking for more help when it comes to building yourself up for your next fight, improving your strength, your power, your speed, all of those areas, shoot me a DM that says fight ready on my Instagram account. And guys, that is it. I appreciate you all for tuning in. As always, I hope you have a fantastic rest of your day, and I will catch you on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Elite Development Podcast. Now remember, information without execution is useless. So take what you learned in the show today and go figure out how you can apply it to your career to start making progress right away. My one ask of you is share the show around, make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you're following on all the social media platforms. The links on how to do that will be in the show notes below. And in turn, have a great day, and I can't wait to see you on the next episode.